Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, you take a look at Cambodia, Laos, or whatever, you take a look at that area over there, and hang on a second, Eric the tech's going to slap me around a little bit. He leaves his bruises where you guys can't see him, so I've got to be on my best behavior. I have to center myself in the screen. And now you take a look at Laos, Cambodia, you think about what happened in Vietnam, you know, so many of our young men that died because of this man, Henry Kissinger, who's dead at 100 years old. My view, that's probably 99 too many, but too many birthdays, but what do I know? But the globalist, warmongering, war profiteer, New World Order front man, WEF chrome sucker, Henry Kissinger, 10 toes up, room temperature, yesterday, 100 years old, just so you know. The mentor of Klaus Schwab, okay, dead. Not that I celebrate the death of people. I'm just saying that man is, I met him at the, seriously, I had a professional meeting, actually. Somebody had flown me to the Waldorf, or not flown me to, but paid for my plane fare to get to New York to, there was a convention at the Waldorf, and I ran into him in the lobby. And this is back 1980, early 80s, 81, something like that. And you talk about one of the most arrogant sons of well, you talk about a very arrogant man. But then again, hey, I guess if you've got that much power where you can carpet bomb a country without congressional approval, or without any approval, just do it on a whim, kill, be responsible for the deaths of numerous people. Yeah, I guess you can be arrogant, but Kissinger, dead. So we can, Eric the Tech, we can cross him off the list. Just, we can cross him off the list. All right.
Sweet.
Yeah. Folks, I want to thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us as we wrap up this week of news and headlines. My goodness, a lot of stuff happened this week. Things that, you know, the media won't talk about. The reports coming out about the injecticide, the bioweapon that is known as the vaccine. By the way, I was speaking with a physician in the Midwest who said, hey, every time he got a survey to complete, and it came from a pharmaceutical company, and they're paid. These physicians are paid to fill out these surveys. Okay, nice job if you can get it right. Answer 20 questions, make $50. But the questionnaire had to do with a combination of a vaccine, what they're calling a vaccine, of the flu vaccine, seasonal flu, COVID, as well as this new respiratory virus. Would you, the questions were basically, they want to know if he would promote that kind of vaccine. So what he told me was this: they are going to roll this out. It doesn't matter whatever he says, it doesn't matter. They're going to roll this out. So expect that, and expect a new wave of the plandemics combined, and I will toss this in there as well, combined with climate issues, false climate issues. More to get into, and it's a very special guest coming up as well with me, of course, is Randy Taylor. We've been doing a lot riding together, riding together on the shows. And I appreciate that because we've worked together, investigated many cases, investigated many scenes, sites. We've been to places that others have not. He's been to places I haven't been to and vice versa. And I've got to say that it's always enjoyable to talk with him and brainstorm with him and, of course, involve all of you. And when I say involve all of you, please leave your comments. Subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. Those are the two platforms we're on right now. And by the way, I want to say this. Next week, we have a very special guest coming out. I mean, an extremely special guest was just with President Trump last week, or the week before, I believe. And very, very, very extremely involved in the fight against child sex trafficking to the extent that our networks, and I would like to think of the Hagmann Report as the epicenter, Hagmann Investigative Services, HagmannPI.com, as the epicenter of putting groups together like Vets for Child Rescue, SaveThem.org, and of course, Russ's old team, newly formatted, ShatterOps.org. And we're creating an army. We're creating an army, and I think that this army will be formidable in some revelations that will be made next week on this platform. You're going to want to tell your friends and family about the Hagmann Report, and please tune in. Which leads me to say, please subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. Also bookmark HagmannPI.com. I know that this weekend I will be busy writing some reports, unpublished material, and posting them. All right. I want to get into this because this speaks to that phrase that Andrew Breitbart was famous for saying, and that politics is now win-win of culture. And if you look at our culture today, you see the state of politics. And, of course, what happened with the Christmas tree lighting ceremony yesterday. And you may think, well, that's really just – it's really not a big deal in the scheme of things. No, it's a symptom that you better pay attention to. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there, brother.
All right.
That's what we have to do today. We have to hang in there.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. But in addition to hanging, I think we have to fight as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now sure. We also. But by the way, at some point, I'm not sure. Probably in 20 minutes or so, we're gonna have a guest on talking some solutions about the economy. I wanted to mention, but I failed to at the introduction that you know the economy is pretty volatile, and that the endless printing of money. We have to be able to be on the other side of that. That's what I'm thinking. And in other words, be on the proper side of what's happening. So we're going to bring Bob Kudlow in to talk about what we can do to shore up our own finances and some ideas he's got. And RT, I'd like you to hang with me in case you have any questions, because I'll tell you what, man. If we lose the world's reserve status of the dollar, this country is pretty much finished. But having said that, we had a good conversation yesterday, and as an extent, or 2 days ago, I guess now it was. It's just all these days run together. I'm like Steve Quayle, the way I feel. Don't they? I mean, my goodness,
yes, sir.
It's like one constant stream of information.
You wake up and, sweetheart, well, what is today?
Yeah, exactly. We're ending the week and starting a new month, which is great, folks. And by the way, if anything does happen over the weekend, I know RT and myself, you know, we will take to the airwaves if you need to hear it. But we don't do it just to do it. We do it for a reason. But
we do it for our audience, for the people that rely on the information that flows through here. And I really wish that these people would leave Christmas alone.
You know, so
leave it alone.
What's your and again? And I heard someone say this to me when I was talking to him last night. They said, "Well, you know, in the grand scheme of world events, this is not a big deal. If this was an isolated situation, I agree with that. But it's not, right?
Absolutely. And with Christmas being symbolic with Jesus and his birth,
right,
I take it as a very, very personal shot.
And again, folks, look, I get the Saturnalia stuff. I get the meaning of the Christmas tree, the actual meaning of the mm-hmm. tree. I understand it has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. However, there's a much bigger issue at play here. Yes. And that's the inability to, it's like oil and water with our population. You mm-hmm. cannot bring in people who are pro Muslim, pro Hamas, and mix them with Christians and expect for anything good.
Not gonna fly. That's not gonna fly. So, this hijacking of our holidays, though, and symbols of the holidays. I was really, really perturbed with Veterans Day, which in Canada they call Remembrance Day, and that's a very, very solemn day for Canadians to remember. And for Americans to remember our war veterans, the people that made what's going on today, including the insanity, possible. And when these Correct. People come along and think that they need to jump in there and go, oh, well, you know, Palestine needs to be remembered. Well, how could I forget? Not 24 hours a day. You know, I mean, I don't understand this hijack. And Christmas, like you said, be it that it is very commercialized. I get that, but it's only commercialized to a Christian if a Christian allows it to be commercialized. I see it as a day with my family. I see it as a day that we celebrate the Lord Jesus and what he brought to this world and what he left us with, the beautiful gift of salvation. So leave it alone.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
You know, I don't come and mess with you on Ramadan, so back off.
You know, what we saw yesterday, I think, and what we've been seeing since October 7th, the fact that we've got an element of the populace here in this country who hate Christians, they hate Jews. I'm not talking about Zionists, I'm talking about Jews. They hate all other, they hate infidels, period. And you and I have really investigated the heck out of this. There's no negotiating with these people. They, awesome. You know, how do you see this playing out? And what we saw yesterday, I'm not sure if we have any footage or if there's any footage there. In fact, there is. Eric the Tech, if you can run that footage. I know this. There it is, right? This is what happened at Rockefeller Center. I mean, look at that. Isn't that an insurrection against Christmas?
Yes. I would have tear gassed the whole place. I'd have cleared it out.
So where's the left? Where's the communist left in condemning this kind of behavior?
Probably right there in the hat. I see an awful lot of these Arabic scarves now, the headgear and scarf.
What is that? J-Pel, who in Congress has been wearing that?
Omar wears them. Yeah. Yeah, she wears them. Not tight enough around her neck, but she wears them.
Well,
See, we put up with this stuff, but look what Russia's doing right now.
And that's exactly. Thank you. I was going to get to that next. Russia's Supreme Court designates international LGBT movement as an extremist organization. Mm-hmm. Now,
and we're the nation under God.
Yeah. Think about that.
I'll be honest with you. Russia is full of Christians. That's why I have, I hate seeing them made out to the as an enemy to the degree that we have. If Donald Trump was in office, like I said, we wouldn't be in Ukraine. I'll tell you right now, I don't think Hamas would even pull that bloody massacre. That's right, bloody massacre against innocent civilians on October 7th. Because he always said, because they hurt Americans too. And Donald Trump is always very clear. You hurt or kill an American, we're going to kill you. That's the kind of policy you have to have.
And he was very unpredictable, which, you know, some say, well, that's
yeah, but I loved it.
Yeah. And you've got to be, don't you? Sure. I mean,
I think so. Yeah. He was like Reagan. Reagan was very unpredictable at times too. That's when I was in the military under Ronald Reagan. And you just, he got unpredictable to the point, and it sounds stupid, but unpredictable to the point that you actually knew what to expect.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense. If you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But Reagan was the same way. He, you didn't mess with Americans. And that's what you're supposed to be. You are the top dog in the country. Your job as the president is to protect America and the people in it, not defile it, not leave the borders bleeding, not giving money to the wrong people. You know what I'm saying? We're so wrong today. The only thing, I'll be glad when Mr. Potato is gone, as Doug fondly calls him.
You know,
it's funny when you say that because it reminds me of the little Mr. Potato Head when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And you played, yeah, you know, he had about as much sense as that piece of plastic.
Do you think, and when you're looking at the DNC, okay, they've got it. When you look at the organizational structure and how they operate, compare that to the RNC, what a difference, because, you know, they operate a lot stronger than the RNC. They're more strategic and tactical.
Thank you. That's a good point, Doug.
So I truly believed that we were not going to have, and I still think that somehow Potato Head will be out, won't be in the running for the 2024 election, but I could be wrong. Yeah, as time goes on. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think he's going to bow out, or do you think he's going to be taken?
I don't think health wise he's going to be able to do it. I don't think so. I know that he knows that the Democrats are trying to get rid of him. It's obvious that he knows it. They're speaking openly about it now, and listening to the pundits and all on news channels, they're just openly talking like he's already dead and gone. So he knows that, but I also see he plans to resist him, is what he's saying. The man doesn't, I guess if he conceded and said it or didn't even approach the subject, he would be considered a loser by his own people. I mean, the guy's a loser, no doubt. I have no doubt of that. He's, I don't know that, sometimes with the decisions he makes, I wonder if he even pays attention to the news, pays attention to what's going on outside of the room that he's in.
I don't think he's got the capacity. That feeling? I don't think he's got the capacity to do that.
You may be right. I mean, it might be something where an advisor says something and Jill has to break it down for him. You know, I don't know. Cognitively, he scares me. I fully expect him one day walking from the helicopter to just drop dead right there in the grass from a heart attack or something. I mean, the guy physically is incapable of running the most powerful country in the free world. And if we had to go to war, Doug, I would be really seriously concerned. Seriously concerned. I bet you the Joint Chiefs are concerned. They have to be. If not, they're not doing their job. Because I would be very, very, very concerned. And people mock Trump for his age. You know what? Let's put some politics aside. From a health standpoint,
yeah,
I would rather have Trump. Just from a health standpoint. At least when you ask him a question, he knows what you asked him. I watch when these people talk to Biden. It takes him so long to register. It's kind of scary. It's scary when you look at what United States collectively, what we're facing today in the international world. We're in a bad spot.
No, we actually dangerous. Are.
Yeah, we're standing on thin ice.
I've got, and I'm sending this to Eric right now. I've got from decades ago, this is actually from the 80s. I'm just going to put this.
Back in the good old days, Doug?
The good old days. I'm telling you. People have a tendency to forget, or in many cases, they weren't really, they weren't paying attention or born yet, or they were too young. But the media, when Joe Biden was running for president, I believe this was 88, I'm not entirely certain, Biden has been making a living lying to the American public, okay? And he's got to be removed from office. That's 100% sure. Did you get it? Okay, watch this. And folks, we don't have to play the entire 4.5 minutes, but watch this, because it has some, I think, some important reminders as well as current lessons. Let's not forget what this man did to us in the past. Here it is.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in 1,000 generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think, is quite frankly ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here. Now, that's a little too much, because as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
For the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
He quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
He was given an F.
So ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
To the political community in Washington, it all seems of a piece. Plagiarism at law school, plagiarism on the stump.
The great communicator. Strike that. The great imitator.
You don't steal verbatim, or when you do, as he did 99% of the time, you give credit.
Biden's critics say he sells himself as a man whose words and visions can inspire a new generation in politics. But if the thoughts, phrases, and visions really belong to others, it's a form of false advertising.
Is it a wise idea, though, to take something that personal, anyway, from another politician and try and appropriate it to your own campaign?
I think it was a stupid thing to appropriate material that was really very personal, that was someone else's.
Most people didn't know who he was, you know, Joe Biden, and now they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who plagiarized.
That's a lot of people.
First. Politically, that's devastating.
These clips are devastating. He looks like a Joe Biden wind-up doll with somebody else's words coming out.
If they're going to do things that are stupid as well as immoral, then they're probably too dumb to have the job of president. The
voters are going to have to decide whether he was dishonest or dumb.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
In terminal condition.
Terminal. Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead. We'll be right back.
So compare that to today. In a couple of interesting statements in there, you know, was he stupid or was he stupidly smart, I suppose, in using other people's words? He still is today doing that. Other people are speaking through him, like Obama. What do you think about that, Randy?
He's definitely, I'm going to say stupid. And he had a couple examples where it was probably written by someone else, but then there was a lot of it where he was winging it. So blame it on his speechwriter, blame it on him.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, even if someone hands you something and says, here's your speech for tonight, you would think that you would go through it and check it yourself. And if you're a politician in those circles, you've heard the other person use that phrase already. You know, he is nothing but deceit when you really pin it down. We're finding this out, especially with money, the money he's been receiving, you know, calling it loans and this and that. I think eventually that will catch up with him, the bribes. And the pay for play thing that he's been doing, and him and Hunter, it's going to catch up with him. That may be what the Democrats use to put the nail in his coffin, figuratively speaking. I think that may be what they'll. You said that about 5 or 6 months ago, Doug. I believe I remember you saying that, and I absolutely agreed with that.
You know, again, when you take a look at. A number of things. And the reason I look back in history, and the reason I think that compilation is so important, because it speaks to the individual he is today. And, you know, when you are compromised, at least to that extent, and he paid the price, or I shouldn't say he paid the price. The American people made the decision back in 88, good, bad, or indifferent, to make sure that he stayed out of the race, or, you know, was forced to drop out of the race. Now, today, you know, when you look at things today, of course, it's totally different. The media wouldn't act that way, number one. Number two, I mean, there's a whole lot of other things that go into the propaganda of today. But I thought that was really...
That was a very good video there.
And that was not mine. The credit will be at HagmanPI.com in the show description. Just open it up. The link to that video and the proper credit to that individual. Now, with Biden in... as the resident of the White House, you also have around him, of course, the people who are in charge of our money, of our money supply. I saw a clip of Biden saying, "Wow, Thanksgiving costs were much lower this year than they were last year." Well, when you take a look at the year to year over the last dozen years, you can see how almost like a hockey stick, they went up the cost for Thanksgiving dinner. I think the way it was worded, to the way the press worded it, was just a crazy way of wording it. $61.17 for 10 people to feed 10 people. And I don't recall the publication that that was in, but I thought, wow. So you're telling me for $6.17 per person, you could have Thanksgiving. And you know, I don't know what planet that's on or what country or what county or what state, but I just, and then when you read further into the article, you could see that that's not exactly what the headline didn't match the text. But anyway, yes. Yeah.
But they get away with that because remember, nobody digs. Nobody looks into things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Take it at surface and run with it.
Now here's what I consider one of the most important services I can do for our listeners that you can do, Randy Taylor, that we together collectively can do. And that's to provide people with information that's actionable. Yes. You know, one of the things that I've done that I'm very proud to have done is team up with Trade Genius. Okay. Now, look, we know that there's bad things taking place all across the world right now. Even in the worst of times, especially in the worst of times, people can take advantage or get on the proper side of the bad things and actually thrive when other people are not. And I had this question. Why do some people thrive during these times as opposed to other people, many people, just striving and clawing? Well, this is when I met up with Bob from TradeGenius.co. The link will be in the program description box. He's got a university. Plus, he's got a free newsletter. Man, I'm telling you what, if you want to know stuff, and stuff, I say stuff because, you know what, I'm not qualified to talk with the terms that he can talk. But I do know this. I know when I make stupid investments. When I say investments, I'm not talking about, you know, huge things. I know when I make stupid decisions. And I know success when I see it, and I know failure when I see it. I'd much rather be successful. And that's why Bob Kudlow from Trade Genius, that's why I asked him to come on today and speak to all of us about the state of things and about wherever he wants to talk about. Bob, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Randy, nice to meet you.
Hey, Bob, right on.
I have to get my thesaurus out now that you said I use big words, so I'll start digging it up.
No, keep your thesaurus. You know, that's one thing I like about you and about Trade Genius. You can make, if I can understand what you're talking about, then most people can, because I can talk all day long about investigative things, but one thing that I'm really bad at is talking about, you know, the economy and about money and about trading and about all this other stuff. And that's where you come in. And I'm so glad to have met you. And folks, TradeGenius.co, that's the place to go for information, for everything you really need. That's kind of like a one-stop shop. It's good to see you again. You were on about a month ago. I enjoyed our conversation then. Where are we at today? Talk to us.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to get to Randy's point about, you know, you do well trading, you do well in life if you can get to the second order level of data. And I think, you know, that's something that people need to be cognizant of, because the surface level is designed to confuse you, actually. So, you know, where we are, when we talked before, I said we're going to have a scary Halloween, which we did. We're going to have a good Thanksgiving, which we did. And now we're trying to understand how good Santa is going to be. And the markets now are being driven by two things, and two things only. It's the amount of what they call T-bills, which are the short-term bonds that the government sells, versus the longer duration bonds, like the 10-year, 20-year, 30-year bonds that the government sells. So the closer they are, the shorter they are, they call it, of the duration, is the more hot money comes into the market, because they're able to use that as collateral to lend, to borrow against the trade and speculate. When they use it, when they go out farther out into the curve, they it's actually a liability, and that money's locked up. So Yellen kind of pulled a game here on November when they announced the funding requirements for the next 90 days, and she basically pushed down the duration, and the market interpreted that as easing is coming, and that's what popped the market so high. And but if you've noticed here since basically right before Thanksgiving.
Bob, you muted yourself there somehow.
Oh.
Okay, now you're back.
No. Oh, sorry about that. Where did you lose me? Where'd you guys lose me?
Yellen.
So yeah. Yellen, she pulled a fast one basically on October 30th and announced a lot less long-term bond issuance. And that basically gave the market a green light. They interpreted that as easing is coming. And basically unwound 2 months of the tightening that Jerome Powell did. I'm only sharing this with you so people can understand the plumbing a little bit. Now we're at a situation where they basically have to refinance $6 trillion worth of debt over the next 18 months. And she's already taken the T-bill issuance as far as you really can. And that's going to become a drag into the stock market going into next year. The second thing that's happening is that there's increasing use of derivatives, which are options. If people understand the stock market, you can buy shares or you can buy a call option or a put option. Well, the option market is basically the tail wagging the dog of the stock market right now. So there's a lot of leverage in the system. And they drove what they call the volatility, which means the fear factor, pretty much out of the market through these derivatives, which really sets us up for potential dislocations, i.e. the crash environment. And the problem with that is you just don't know when it comes. It's like playing, when you're trying to go around the thing and people pulling the chairs, right? But you're doing it with a hand grenade. And you just don't know when it's going to go off. So the people that are smarter than me say that these derivative flows kind of reverse in January. At the same time, when she has to, Yellen has to issue a lot more debt. So we think we may just kind of squeak by here with the markets kind of in this tug of war between up a little bit, down a little bit, until probably the middle of January. And then from the middle of January to the middle of June, I expect some pretty heavy selling in the market, kind of like what happened in 2001, after like March of 2000, where it's just a steady drumbeat. The other thing that people don't realize when you were talking, Randy, about people don't challenge the narrative. If somebody told you today, hey, the stock market's up for the year, most people would nod their head, but they don't realize 493 stocks are down over double digits this year, and seven of them are up a lot. And that's that's what they call the FANG stocks, the Magnificent Seven, if you will. And we're playing out the same way we played out in the 1970s I think all of us are old enough to remember that, is the when they had the Nifty 50.
Oh, yeah.
And the Nifty 50 were the same conversations we're having from 1962 to 1966, nothing could go down. And then in 1967, when Johnson got into an office, he didn't do the guns or butter, he did guns and butter. And then inflation started, and then it just lit off with OPEC. We're in that same environment again, where the Biden administration wants the butter for their constituents, but they're also engaged, because they're neocons, they're also engaged in war. And so you got guns and butter going, and we're just exploding out the deficit. At some point, the markets hate that, especially when they have to finance it through the public markets. It just sucks out all the equity out of the stock market, because they're going to defend the bond market over the stock market. So that's kind of where we are. That's on the stock market standpoint. from a macro side, I'm sure you've already discussed, we're just slowly deteriorating. We basically are killing the golden goose of the United States, which is the middle class spender. And, you know, the poor never really spend. They just get the money from the government and they live hand to mouth. The rich, when they get extra money, they lock their money up. So they're not creating any velocity. So it was always the middle class that supported the economic expansion. Well, we've taken them to the wall and we're starting to see retrenchment there. And we're going to roll over next year in terms of employment, in terms of wage. But more importantly is that there's a psychological wage that people get. So when you and I and Randy get a paycheck, you know, 80% of it, 90% of it goes out to things you have to spend on, right? And then there's this psychological money where you can take your trip, go out to eat, you know, have fun with friends, go get a massage, you know, get a gym membership. You know, those are that's the money you work for, you live for, you want to enjoy your life. Well, that pool is shrinking rapidly. And makes people very angry when all they do all day long is work just to survive. And when they do that, they get surly. And you're starting to see a trend around the world where
We lost your audio.
I'm still here.
You're back now. Before you go any further, I just want to point out, I think it was Steve Bannon yesterday or the day before or sometime this week. I think Dan Bongino. It was one of the two. They were saying, to your point, they were showing videos from TikTok and other platforms where normal... When I say normal folks, I'm talking about you and me. I mean, we don't have a lot of money. You know, a lot of us live paycheck to paycheck. We're on strict budgets, but there have
been on disability
or right. I mean, people on disability, Medicare, Medicaid, SSI, whatever it might be. You've got to plan your money out, but more and more videos are out there now of younger people saying, I've got to get two and three jobs. I can't afford my rent. I can't afford to pay the grocery bills. I mean, gas.
It's panic.
Yes. And what the government's doing is censoring these videos. TikTok, they're taking the video, the CCP, they're taking the videos off as quickly as they appear almost. But other platforms, they're a little bit slower, but many have gone through. Is this what you're talking about, Bob? I mean, this kind of the state of things?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always look at it from the lens of trading because, you know, I have to see where there's opportunity. You know, when you were talking in the intro for me is that there's always opportunity amongst yes. chaos. And so, you know, what we're seeing here is that the and not just young people, too. I feel really more for people 50 and older, 50 to 65 that can't access the, you know, their Social Security or their Medicare and or they have to go on disability, you know, just to survive. And that these jobs aren't coming back and they're high paying jobs that are going away. And so what I'm looking at now is a bifurcation in the stock market where you want to own things that you have to have and you want to sell the stocks of companies that are nice to have. And so that's kind of our mantra going forward. Remember, of our economy is services. Two thirds of the services are what I would call non-essential, they're discretionary. And those are all going to go away. And that's going to affect commercial real estate. It's going to, I'll give you an example. You don't want to own an RV maker. You want to be shorting Airbnb. You want to be buying companies like ADM, which makes food, processes food. You know, you're going to want to own energy stocks that pay dividends. You know, that's the shift I'm talking about. And I was just telling my clients this morning is that, you know, tech is already overbought. And you're already starting to see the and tech in this country is different. You know, Amazon is a tech company, but they're really a consumer company. Google is a tech company, but it's really an advertiser. Meta is a tech company, but it's really an advertiser. And all those companies are hurting right now. And if, you know, if anybody gets money from these entities, will know they've been ratcheting down the payment schemes and are looking the way to demonetize just because they want to try to keep their profit levels up. So all those companies, and they're all part of the Nifty 50, you know, or the Magnificent Seven, if you want to call it for today. And as those companies fall, it's going to roll the whole stock market down, and it's going to roll everything down with it. So that's what I'm looking at. But from a macro standpoint, this isn't going to be a six-month or a nine-month recession. You know, we're talking a multi-year retrenchment in the economy because of demographics. Number one is that, you know, for me, in the next couple of years, when I'm allowed to go on to Social Security and I decide not to do what I'm doing anymore, well, my income is fixed. Okay. I may have income, but I'm not going to be spending like I did before. Well, we have millions and millions of people every year going into that situation. So it's going to drive growth out of the economy. At the same time, the government's not going to get the tax revenue that it used to get from people spending and creating velocity, and it's going to increase inflation. So what I'm terming is going to happen here is an inflationary depression, where nominally you may look like, hey, the economy is growing, but the gap between what you make and what you can buy is going to become increasingly out of reach for most people. Exactly, Randy. And people are just going to be very, very sullen and surly. And now you understand why they call it the fourth turning. And until the baby boomers roll off, we're going to be in this situation. It's just going to be, we're going to lurch from one crisis to another. But overall, you're going to see the stock market fall, and you're going to see inflation rise. And so you want to own things that hurt when you drop it on your foot, and you want to sell things that people like to have but not have to have.
Folks, Bob Kudlow from TradeGenius.co. The link will be in the program description box. You know, the way I look at it is this. Bob and Trade Genius, look, I've got a vehicle. And if I open the hood to the vehicle, I don't know what the heck I'm looking at. I mean, I can identify certain things, the radiator, the battery, the engine block. I got all that, right? But some of the other stuff, I don't know. That's Bob and his team, Bob and Phil, right on your screen, folks, right there. They teach trading strategies for different markets, folks. The new era of making money is about to begin. This is where Bob really, in my view, shines, and Trade Genius shines. And this is one of the solutions I believe that the listeners and viewers of this platform, you would do well by going to TradeGenius.co, bookmarking that website, just going through that entire website, get their free newsletter, and learn from them. But Bob, what am I missing here that I haven't said that we really need to drive home? I mean, because you help people. The old commercials, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Remember those?
No, yeah.
Okay, so Eric and Tech and I were talking before the show. Bob, when you talk, we listen, because that's the weight of information you have. Message to people, our listeners, how can you help them? Because I don't want to see any one of our people, viewers, listeners, at all suffer, or at least mitigate their suffering, and hopefully take them to higher levels economically.
So we're more than just a university, as you put it. Actually, you know, what we do is that we'll teach you how to fish. Okay, and for sure. But at the same time, when you join our service, we give you access to our algorithms. So these are indicators on a charting program that literally will tell you buy and sell. So we're already going to help you see how the trades get set up and how they form and when you should be in them, when you should be out of them. The other thing that we do, you know, and we teach you how to use those indicators. We also put trades out every day. So we actually give people, we'll teach you how to fish. We'll give you fish and we'll give you the fishing equipment.
Yep.
So, and we'll get you in the right ocean. So, you know, macro is half the battle. And so, you know, if you have the macro right, then it's really all about, you know, trade. And our algorithms look at trends. They look at momentum. We look at channels, and it's all already computerized, and those things will lift out and they'll show you and alert you when there's trades. And so that's what we do for people. And what we charge for the service is nothing compared to what you'll get out of it. You know, people tell us we way undercharge for this. I've been doing this for 10 years. I like how we price it. I want people to make money. And I make enough money.
Nope, your audio cut out again. Not sure what's happening there. Can you hear me? All right, folks, we're having a little bit of audio trouble. But while we're working through that, I want to tell you, TradeGenius.co. That's the company we're talking about. Bob, of course, is my guess. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot to understand, but one thing I like is to be guided. I mentioned a car looking at an engine before. I don't need to know all the wires and all the stuff in the engine if I can trust somebody who works on the vehicle. And I liken that situation to this situation. Bob, do I have you back?
Yeah. Okay. I never lost you, so I'm not sure when you lost me.
To that point, too, Doug, this gentleman, it's like he's talking with you, not at you.
Yeah,
exactly. It always bugged me about money people. They talk at you. He's talking with you. He's explaining it where even I can understand it. That goes a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to demystify this. Actually, trading is very easy. It's just that people, they try to make it too complicated. I mean, truly is buy low, sell high. You just have to know what are the triggers to take the trade. And so we think we have really good triggers. We've had them for a long time. We know they work. We have a track record. You can go to our site. You can see our track record. Every trade I put out publicly, I put in there the good, bad, and the ugly so that people can see what we do. So we're highly transparent, but we make people money in the market. So if you follow our trades for a long enough period of time, you're going to beat the market. And so, and then we teach you how to do it. So you can actually trade what you want to trade. You don't have to trade what we trade. And there's every day there's a sea of opportunity. No matter if the market goes up or goes down, there are trades that work every day.
A quick question for the audience. What kind of money would someone need to start doing this?
Yeah, so not as much as you think, because they don't charge for commissions anymore for stock trading. So if you have a couple thousand dollars, you can start getting yourself into it. All that really matters, Randy, is your percentage gain on the trade. You know, so, you know, our trades, if you took all our trades over a period of time, you know, you're going to average 1.5% of gains per week. So, you know, now, having said that, you have to be 100% invested to do that. So, you know, if you apply a factor of like 60% invested or you miss a day, you know, you're still going to beat the stock market by, you know, 3 to 4x. And that's consistent year over year over year. So you don't need a lot of money. We tell people that if you get greedy, you're going to lose all your money. So you just have to grind your way. The other thing, too, is that a lot of people that do what I do, you know, their pitch is to get rich quick. You can't get rich quick in this business. It's a process. You know, people say, well, when can I do this on my own? It'll take you 4 years of building up enough capital to be able to trade on your own full time, 100%. But if you're looking to, like a lot of our clients are looking to make better decisions or pick up, you know, pocket change, you know, you can easily make $100 a day in the market. That's $20,000 a year. Okay. You know, it's not chicken feed. And so, you know, and you can do that with $5,000 or $10,000 in a trading account. So, you know, so you don't need a lot of money to get started. But if you want to do this full time, you know, you'll need a couple years, and you're going to need to build that portfolio up to, you know, $50,000 to $100,000, you know, of capital to be able to generate the kind of returns that you want to be able to live on your own. And I'm not talking an opulent lifestyle. I'm talking about normal middle class life. But we make people money, and you know, I have a lot of people that, you know, professionally trade, they follow our stuff because they want to see kind of what we're seeing. So, and I have people that don't trade anything. They just want to hear what I have to say. So, you know, so I have my clients run the gamut of people. You know, there's people that are fund managers and there's, you know, there's mom and pop out there. And, you know, we provide the same information to everybody.
So that's a good idea to sign up for the newsletter.
Well, the newsletter, it gives a daily activity. You know, we have a podcast called Trade Genius on YouTube. I encourage people to look at that. And then if you want to get trades, you just join us.
By the way, I got to tell you this. I binged on the podcast, okay, last week. Seriously. And by the third one into my listening, I was right there with your cadence, with the terminology. Folks, you've got to go to the podcast as well. Listen to the podcast and the information that is provided there. And I know that seems like a random thing to say, or like, yeah, you'd probably say that, but I'm telling you what, it's a very, once you get into it and drill down into the podcast as well, because it's fabulous. It really is.
I think a lot of people have these questions. They just don't know where to go. And so,
yeah,
here you go. Here, boom. Here's the door is open.
I love it. And one thing, I grabbed my
notes. We lost you again, Bob.
Yeah. The audio. I don't know what's going on with the audio. But one thing I have to say to people, I've got my notes from when Bob was on last time. Scary Halloween, happy Thanksgiving. Sure enough. There it is. I mean, he was right on the money. And so I wrote those four words there. So do we have you back, Bob? Okay, I'm not. There we go. Go ahead. Yep. Now.
I said our podcasts are 10 to 12 minutes long.
Drop right you again.
Well, anyway. You guys talk.
Okay, now we got you. We got you back. I'm not sure if there's a short or something. But continue. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the plug in the podcast for me. I appreciate it. We try to get to the point on those. Something happened yesterday. It was really interesting. I thought your listeners should. Mark Cuban basically sold majority interest in the Mavericks. In and of itself, that's no big deal. Except that Mark Cuban has a knack for selling at the top. So he started in 1982, and he sold his first business in 1990, right ahead of that recession and market sell-off. He bought Broadcast.com right in 1995. He sold it in 2000, or 1999, the end of it, at the top of the dot-com craze. He bought the Mavs, you know, during that recession afterward, and he just sold a majority interest in that, and he got off Shark Tank. So he is a guy, there's people out there that you want to fade 100%, like Dennis Gartman, when he was doing it. And there's guys you want to, that alarm bells went off. We did a podcast on it just because of that. And then Jamie Dimon came out, and he's increasingly bearish on the debt levels that people are taking on. In and of itself, a banker talking about debt, he's a hypocrite, right? But Jamie Dimon is starting to work the narrative of, we warned you. Remember, the banks didn't want to get blamed for the GFC? Okay, he's out there saying, hey, there's people out there that shouldn't be taking on debt or taking on debt, but they're receiving the debt. He's trying to say, hey, I didn't want to have any part in this. You know, don't blame the bankers for this. Because what's happening now, you know how people are robbing everything in the stores? Now people are jamming up their credit cards with no intention, zero intention of paying them off, and are just going to default on those debts. We're at that point of the economic cycle. And my father-in-law said something to me a long, long time ago. We always talked about, because when we were young and just getting married, we were worried about this, worried about that. He goes, look, when this thing all ends, everybody's just going to default together, and then they're going to have to change the system. And I think we're getting to that point. People are defaulting on their student loans. People are defaulting on their cars. people are defaulting on their credit cards. And I think you're going to see strength in numbers on this. You know, if 1,000 people default, you can deli slice them away. When 10 million people default, it's called the political movement. And I think that's where we're heading into at this point in time. And you're already seeing it in Europe. They're going hard left to hard right.